Welcome everyone to our worship together. Well, it seems that today is Father's Day, despite what I put in the monthly newsletter. We've had a good week in our community outreach as the weather has begun to change for the better. Friday was a beautiful day, sunshine and a nice cool breeze. Thanks to everyone for your support. It's just so good to be part of such a loving fellowship. And of course, that fellowship is not just limited to those of us living in Skegness, but includes so many of our regular visitors. So now as we prepare to worship the Lord on this Trinity Sunday and of course Father's Day, let there be love, peace, joy and hope shared among us. Let's sing, "Let There Be Love Shared Among Us."
Let there be love shared.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This Sunday, the first Sunday after Pentecost, is traditionally the day Christians celebrate as Trinity Sunday. The coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost completed God's gift of himself in what Christians conveniently designate as the Trinity. The Apostle Paul concludes his second and final letter to the church in Corinth with words that have become very familiar in our churches today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He also sums up the need for Christian communities to live in peace with each other. So I greet each of you this morning with Paul's words of greeting. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. The Christian doctrine of the Trinity is a central doctrine, or if you prefer, a central teaching of the Christian Church, which is about the unity of Father, Son and Holy Spirit as three persons in one Godhead. The Trinity dates back to the adoption of the statement of Christian belief known commonly as the Nicene Creed, and signifies that within the one true God are three persons, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. This doesn't mean that there are three gods. Neither does it mean that God has three separate parts. What it does mean is that the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, coexist co-equally and co-eternally as God. Well, don't worry if you find this hard to understand. The doctrine of the Trinity has been the subject of much theological discussion for nearly 2,000 years. The best way that I always use when I'm trying to explain this concept is to think of water. Now, water can exist as ice, water, and steam. Okay, it may not be the best example, but it gives an idea. It's all the same thing, but in different formats. For the first two centuries of the church's life, controversies raged about who Jesus was. Was he fundamentally human or fundamentally God? Today we take the eventual outcome of all this theological discussion for granted. But the understanding which eventually evolved came from passion and determination, and we should be very proud of it. So since the beginning of the 3rd century, the doctrine of the Trinity has been stated through the creeds as the one God who exists in three persons and one substance, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I suppose you could liken this to the early church model as set out in Acts of the Apostles and in Paul's letters. Church was, and of course should be today, a community in loving harmony and interdependence, each person through their individual gifts being distinct and doing distinctive things. So let us declare our faith in the Trinity as we sing the hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Apart from being Trinity Sunday, today, as I said, is Father's Day. And Father's Day has not been traditionally been celebrated by the church in the same way as Mothering Sunday. And this is a bit strange given the wealth of reference, both biblical and otherwise, to God as our Father. Many people look on Father's Day as an invention by greetings card manufacturers to convince customers to give them even more money. Now, of course, the shops are full of gifts for fathers, so more money to be made. But there is a more serious note to remember. In the sort of society we live in today, many fathers find themselves estranged from their children, often through their own fault, although not always. So while for many it may be inappropriate to celebrate Father's Day, for us as Christians, it may well be appropriate to remember our Heavenly Father. Because God does fathering properly, fulfilling all the obligations implied by our understanding of fatherhood. Even when our own fathers sometimes fall down on the job, reject it completely, or do it in a damaging way. Today is a day for celebrating, when we say thank you to our dads, but more especially to our Heavenly Father. So let us pray. Lord God, you are the perfect Father to us all. We give thanks for all that our fathers have done for us, all that they have been to us. We thank you for the good times we've shared together and for bringing us through hard times together. Bless all fathers in the world today. Give them love to share with their children. Give them wisdom to teach their children. Give them courage when the job seems hard. Give them patience when things don't go to plan. And give them strength to carry their children when they are tired or frightened. Give them love to share with their children. And let it be enough. And Father, we pray for all children whose fathers have died or whom they do not see anymore. We pray for any children who are frightened of their fathers. Please bless and protect these precious children and help them to know your healing love as their Heavenly Father. As a parent tenderly gathers their children, so you have embraced us and welcomed us into your kingdom. You sent us your Spirit who fills our hearts. And so we thank you for the gift of parenthood, for the waiting and the joy, for the pain and the pleasure, for the responsibility and the trust. We give thanks for all young people, especially those entrusted to our care. May we be patient and understanding, ready to guide and forgive, that in our love they may know your love and learn to love your world and the whole family of your children. Amen. So let's sing Abba Father.
Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be never let
Well, apart from today being a celebration of Trinity and Father's Day, there is also another anniversary which we celebrate as a church today. My dear friends, on Trinity Sunday, the 7th of June 2009, some of us who are here today or listening to this service gathered in the County Hotel on the seafront in Skegness to worship for the first time as the Skegness Community Church. And of course, we did so then under the umbrella of the Church of the Nazarene. We actually started as a church plant in Sibsey on the outskirts of Boston in September 2008, where we held an evening service every Sunday. And this was attended by people from the Boston area and Skegness. Well, mind you, doesn't time fly when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? 837 weeks in Skegness and 870 weeks since we started this new church, which is now the Skegness Community Church. Just so much has happened over the past 17 years. In April 2015, we became a registered charity in our own right. Up until then, we were under the umbrella of Refley Nazarene Church in King's Lynn. Then in October of that year, we moved to our premises here in Algutha Road, where we continue to serve the Lord, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week with our Meeting Point Community Outreach, which you all know involves our charity shop and cafe. In 2022, we established ourselves as an independent church after the Nazarene Church agreed for us to go our own way. So much has happened, but we continue to look forward to serving the Lord and his people through the power of his Spirit as a church family. Sadly, some of our founding members and some have joined us along the way of Pastor Glory. Some have moved away from the area and we pray that they have found a home in another church fellowship. We are thankful for all who have worked with us over the years and especially those who are part of our fellowship today, as the Lord has blessed us with new members to serve in this part of the vineyard. So let us pray. Lord, we come to worship you today and we acknowledge that you are a generous God who gives us the resources of a fruitful world. You give us the rich diversity of human relationships, the varied talents and abilities to serve you and your people. In divine love, you gave us the life of Jesus, your dear Son, and you have empowered your followers with the Holy Spirit. Today, Lord, we thank you for your unconditional love, for your help and guidance as we live in this world you created. And we give you thanks for the church, your body on earth. And today, we especially thank you for our church fellowship here in Skegness, for all who have worked and supported it over the past 16 years. And today and every day, we give thanks for its work for you. We give thanks for our love for each other. And Lord, we pray that it will never stop. Amen. So let's sing our anniversary song. We give thanks for our church here in Skegness.
We give thanks for our church here in Skegness. We give thanks for the work for God. We give thanks for our love for each other. And we pray that it will never stop. To our God. We give thanks for the people who pray here. We give thanks for them young and old. We give thanks for the people who praise here and are grateful for their praise of old. Skegness to our God. We give thanks for our faith in Lord Jesus. We give thanks for his saving way. We give us every day. Sing us deckness, sing us deckness, sing us deckness for the love of God. Sing us deckness, sing us deckness, sing us deckness to our God. Give us hope in our hearts for the future. Give us hope in our hearts, we pray. Give us faith in our hope for the future and the witness of our church today. Sing us deadness, sing us deadness, sing us deadness for the love of God. Sing us deadness, sing us deadness,
to our God. Well, that recording was done in our cafe and done by Mike, Dot, Kathy and Graham, our impromptu choir. Sadly, of course, Mike passed away earlier this year, but we are still reminded of him through the legacy he left us. So thank you to our impromptu choir. Last week, we started a new theme for our worship. Last month, we saw how through the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, we are born into a new life in Christ as we now follow a new way for our lives. This new way has to be the priority for how we live our lives. And so this month, we look deeper into that new way as we examine a faith-driven life. And we've seen already this month that the Holy Spirit is a new priority and a new empowering. And last week, as we celebrated the descending of the Holy Spirit, the final part of the three elements of God, into and onto the first disciples, and we saw how that just as the Holy Spirit was the new empowering for the first disciples to continue Jesus' work on earth, so it is for us today, for we too are called to continue Jesus' work on earth. In fact, in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, we read, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." Well, that's our Bible study passage for this week. And of course, it sets out very clearly that we're all called to follow Jesus and make new disciples by our works and our words. And of course, new empowering for this mission is through the very Holy Spirit of God. But for the Holy Spirit to be activated in us, we have to accept Jesus as the Son of God, truly a part of the Holy Trinity. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So there you have it. By accepting Jesus, we are accepting him as our Lord and Saviour, as the key to eternal life. Now, on this Trinity Sunday, we explore just what that new empowering gives us. It gives us a new vision. Well, more of that later, but first let's come to God again in prayer. Let's pray. God the Father, we adore you. You are the depth of all that is. You are the round of our being. We can never grasp you, yet you grasp us. The whole universe speaks to us of you, and your love comes to us through Jesus. God the Son, we adore you. You are the perfection of humanity. You have shown us what human life should be like. In you we see divine love and human greatness combined. God the Spirit, we adore you. You draw us to Jesus and the Father. You are the power within us. You give us abundant life and can make us the men and women we were meant to be. Father, Son and Spirit, God beyond, beside and around us, we adore you. Father, Son and Holy Spirit, Creator of all, forgive us the damage we have done to the beauty of this world, the threads of life and patterns of harmony we have broken, the riches we have grabbed at and the mess we have left behind. You speak to us words of hope and forgiveness when we realize our mistakes. You offer us the chance to start again and to renew what is broken. Lord, we pray that you will speak to us now your words of love and new beginnings. Help us to recommit ourselves to building a world of truth and justice. a place where all your children can be safe to grow and thrive. Lord, because of our faith in Jesus, who died that we might live, we stand in your grace. Absolved from guilt, we stand forgiven, rejoicing in the hope and glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your unconditional love and forgiveness. Lord, we live in difficult times when community has never been needed more. We pray for the needs of our communities in a world of economic, political and social upheavals, a world which is also struggling with rioting and continuing warfare. In our communities, may we be strengthened to look out for one another and to reach out where we see need. Once again, Lord, we pray for the people of Ukraine and Gaza and all who are experiencing violence on their doorsteps, for the people caught up in the rioting in Northern Ireland and Los Angeles, for the families and friends of those killed or wounded in the shooting at a school in Austria. We pray too for the families and friends of those killed in the plane crash in India. Lord, it's so sad to hear the relentless stories of broken lives and devastation. We pray that the people of this world will turn to you and live as you created us to live, and so bring comfort, hope and peace. Lord, the political situation in our land is often divisive and can seem filled with strife and difficulties. And so we pray for those who are in public service. May they have a renewed sense of purpose and duty, and implement ways that can impact all communities for good. Lord, may they all have a heart for all people. And Lord, we take a few moments to think about those we know who need our prayers today. And in a moment of quiet, we pray for them. Lord, comfort those in sorrow. Heal those who are sick. Grant us compassion for all who suffer. And help us so to carry one another's burdens, that we may fulfill the law of Christ. And Lord, as you taught us, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, as a church, help us to model a community where people can come together and show love and appreciation for each other. On this Trinity Sunday, we are reminded once again of the deep mystery of our faith, but we're also reminded of the simplicity of the invitation to join in the expression of love and unity represented by the Holy Trinity. And Lord, as we reflect on today's readings from Scripture, renew all of us with your love, bind us all together with your peace, and help us to express to the world the joy and hope we find in you. And Lord, let your living water flow over our souls, for all our cares and burdens, unto you we roll. Amen. Let's sing, "Let your living water flow over my soul."
Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled my mind. All my cares and burdens unto you I roll. Let your
Once again, we pause to bring our offering to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we all use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we all care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. And Lord, once again we say thank you with all of our being for the blessed Trinity of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, as a basis for our gospel readings this month, we've used Jesus' final teaching after the Last Supper, and this morning we do the same. These are some of the last words that Jesus says to his disciples in John's Gospel, before he's taken away. Jesus is summing up his life's work, both present and future, and he does so in prayer to his Father. His words concern his own departure, and his work which will be continued on earth by the Spirit of Truth. In other words, he gives his followers a new vision. Jesus had not been fully revealed through his ministry and preaching as the second person of the Trinity. This would only become evident to Christian believers after his death and resurrection, when the Holy Spirit would disclose the true significance of these events. The Gospel writers are careful to preserve the historical fact that the disciples' full understanding of Jesus as the Christ only came about later under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They are scrupulous in pointing out that the followers of Jesus could not fully understand Jesus at the time he was with them. And John's Gospel gives a clear reason for this. In Jesus' words, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear." We know the disciples couldn't bear the idea that Jesus would suffer and die. They even tried to stop him. But they would eventually realize the greatness of his love. And when they did, they would realize too the importance for every disciple to reflect this love in their own lives. Let's hear now from John's Gospel.
The reading is from John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So Jesus is telling his disciples that it will be the power of the Holy Spirit that will finally reveal to them the truth about him. The power of the Holy Spirit will enable them to understand. And the power of the Holy Spirit will help them to understand the things that are to come. It will reveal the very nature of their mission, the opposition they will face, and the final outcome of their efforts. In our next reading, the Apostle Paul uses the word boast, but he's not boasting about what he's achieved. He boasts about what God has done through Jesus. And Paul wants to emphasize the greatness of God's free gift of the Son, a gift which gives us a hope of sharing the glory of God. Paul says we are able to suffer hardships and persecution precisely because we are strengthened by God's love, a love which is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And this transforming love is the overwhelming experience which now guides all of us in this life. Let's hear now from Paul's letter to the Romans.
The reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit will tell you of a new vision of the world as it should be, as it was created to be. Just want to bring you some words from Psalm 8. The psalmist writes, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all the flocks and herds and all the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swims the paths of the seas. We know there's absolutely no doubt that this world was created to perfection. Let's face it, it's lasted millions of years. And whatever view you might have about who or what made the earth and the sea and the sky, you can be left in no doubt that everything has a purpose. Everything fits into place in the whole scheme of things. And with all the technology we humans have come up with, still nothing compares with the creation of the universe. We are simply billions of years away from creating such a thing. Even then, I don't think we ever could. Just think about that for a moment. You know, we take so much for granted, and most of what we do is on automatic pilot most of the time. Do we ever stop to think about the wonders of the planet, the incredible way in which we live? Well, I doubt that most of us do. Most people these days seem hell-bent on trying to change everything, even basic human sexuality, without which the human race would have died out years ago. We were designed and built for a reason, just as the whole natural world was. But by and large, we take it for granted. And worse still, we so often think that we can do better. In a novel that I read some years ago about the fictional detective Roy Grace, he makes a statement that I found really fits with my worldview. He described the world around him as a world that was rich and beautiful, but constantly lay in the shadow of evil. Well, I've often said that we're living under the shadow of deceit. And you know what is worse? Is that most of us are content to sit back and do nothing about it, either because we don't want to, or because we don't know how to. A world that was rich and beautiful, but constantly lay in the shadow of evil. Well, I believe we all have a duty towards God and each other not to just sit back, but to actively do something about it. And the best starting point is to live a faith-driven life. Only then can we begin to make a difference. But as much as we might try, we can't live a faith-driven life without help. Well, Jesus acknowledged this when he told his disciples he would send them a helper. And that helper, of course, was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is part of the Trinity that is God. God can and will be active in each of us if we allow the person of the Holy Spirit to be active in us. He's already there. God has placed his Holy Spirit in each of us. But so often that Spirit lies dormant and unused in each of us. You know, once we allow the Spirit to be active, then it will direct our lives. Because the Holy Spirit is God. And if God is actively living in you, then nothing that is good is impossible. Then, and only then, do we have a new vision of the world that God created. Only then do we have a new vision of our role in this vast universe. Because our lives are not lying in the shadow of evil, but are protected from evil. We are guided by God's Spirit into all the truth. But hang on. Do we really believe that we, ordinary mortals, can be guided by God's Spirit into all the truth? As Jesus promises in John's Gospel. In Psalm 8 we read, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Yet you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings." Can a human be only less than, a little less than God? As the psalmist says. With regard to some of the current events in the world, it would seem we've got a long way to go before we find any national leader with anything like bordering on divine credentials. The world today is confronted with enormous threats to its peace. Christianity is confronted with enormous threats from the growth of Islam and the secular world of unbelievers. How wise is it to trust any human ruler? Actually, any human for that matter. The gap between God's dream and our reality seems wider than ever. Which is why on Trinity Sunday, we should rejoice as we're reminded that God's Holy Spirit will show us what is true and guide us into the future. It can and will give each of us a new vision. But what of that vision? What of the future? Well, whatever happens to this world, whether it be annihilation from nuclear weapons, destruction of our planet through global warming, oil leaks or volcanic eruption, or whatever other dire consequence of our misuse of creation, including world war, whatever happens, one thing is for sure. We have been made right with God. We are at peace with God. We need to remember, though, that what Paul means when he says we are at peace with God is not calmness and tranquility. No, what Paul is talking about is that we are reconciled with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And to help us to understand what Paul is saying, it helps to keep in mind the two-sided reality of the Christian life. On the one hand, we are complete in Christ. Our acceptance with him is secure. On the other hand, we are all growing in Christ. We are still on that journey of becoming more and more like him. At one and the same time, we have the status of kings and the duties of slaves. We feel both the presence of Christ and the pressure of sin. We enjoy the peace that comes from being made right with God, but we still face daily problems. Often these problems help us to grow. If we remember these two sides of the Christian life, we won't get discouraged as we face temptations and problems. Instead, we will learn to depend on the power available to us from God, who lives in us through the Holy Spirit. Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God." The new vision may not be what we expect. Jesus never promised that it would be an easy path for any of us. But what he did promise is that he would walk with us, that he would share our suffering, and that in return, we will share with him in God's final glory. In the meantime, as Paul writes, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In future, one day we will become like Christ. But until then, we must overcome. In the meantime, the difficulties we experience will help us grow more Christ-like. We rejoice in our sufferings, not because we enjoy pain or deny its tragedy, but because we know God is using life's difficulties and Satan's attacks to build our character. The problems that we run into will develop our perseverance, which in turn will strengthen our character, deepen our trust in God, and give us greater confidence about the future. You know, I expect each of us probably find our patience tested in some way every day. And we should thank God for those opportunities to grow and deal with the problems and difficulties in God's strength. The questions we need to ask ourselves are these. Are we overcome or overcomers? You know, there are five things that can overcome us on our spiritual journey. Well, five important things. First, desire for evil. You know, do we ever have to teach our kids to be naughty? Two, idolatry. Losing sight of God's direction, letting the visible things become more important than the invisible. The things that God is trying to do with us. And three, immorality. You know, God has given us the gift of sexual union, but has set boundaries. And four, testing the Lord, pushing God to the limits with our behaviour. And finally, five, you'll love this one, grumbling. You know, grumbling can cripple us, and it can so easily cripple the church. It betrays a lack of trust. It leaves us inwardly seething grumblers and more prone to complain than to commend. You know, you can spot a grumbler in the street by the sour look on their face. Five things that can overcome us. But we can counter those things with five things that make us overcomers. One, a positive faith-filled attitude. Remember, it takes 10 positive words to overcome one negative word. Two, courage to face up to opposition. Three, a genuine servant heartness. Helping others does help us, if for no other reason than it takes our mind off our own problems. But our serving must be genuine. Four, a genderless servanthood. Whatever we do for others must be done without any hidden agenda. We should be looking for no reward save that we serve God in serving others. And finally, five, to become overcomers, we must be distinguishable from others. Letting Jesus rule our lives through the power of his Spirit does make us different. And it must show. And of course, it's infectious. Paul reminds us that all three members of the Trinity are involved in making us overcomers and not overcome. The Father loves us so much that he sent his Son to bridge the gap between us and God. The Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit to fill our lives with love and enable us to live by its power. With all this loving care, how can we do less than serve him completely, no matter whatever are the problems we face? This is the new vision for us all. You know what Jesus is telling his disciples, what Paul is telling the church in Rome, is that through the creating power of the Father, through the love of Jesus, and through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, God is building a people of power, a people that will overcome the evil of this world, a people that will live in peace and harmony, a people who will honour the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as the one true God, a people that will live forever in an eternity of love and peace. This just has to be the new vision for us all, the joining of all peoples in the body of Christ, the church. My dear friends, we do live in a world that is rich and beautiful. We experience this every morning as the sun rises and the birds are singing. We experience this as the evening draws in and the birds are still singing. From this moment on, let us decide to open our hearts and minds to God and allow his Holy Spirit to give us a new vision of the world he created for us. Amen. Let's sing, When I See the Morning Sunrise. We'll be right back.
Jesus, all oppression, guilt and shame. Shine your light on the difference of the passion for your name. Shine your light in the nations that the world may know your fame. Shine your light.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, be in our homes that we may know your peace. Holy Spirit, be in our hearts that we may know your love. Holy Spirit, be in our lives that we may take the challenges you present day by day. Holy Spirit, be our new vision. So go in love and peace to serve the Lord and his people. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, always. Amen.